We're in this period of time between Parshas Shmos and Parshas Vayera, and we want to find the connection between the two. At the same time, we want to shed a new light, perhaps, a deeper meaning to the central motif of the Leil HaSeder, Maschil Bignus U'Mesayim B'Shvach. So we're going to look into Parshas Shmos in order to get a deeper understanding of Maschil Bignus, of what the Avdus was like in Mitzrayim. There are some important comments here in the Ramban. And then we're going to jump over to Parshas Vayera to see Mesayim B'Shvach, the five, or at least the four Lashonos of Gula. Maybe we won't get to the fifth tonight. And let me set the background for tonight's discussion by raising a few questions. The Torah is going to speak about a concept called Sivlos Mitzrayim. And that phrase, Sivlos Mitzrayim, appears within a radius of three psukim twice. Once it appears Sivlos Mitzrayim without a vav, and the second time with a vav. Sivlos, first chaser, and then mole. But what is Sivlos Mitzrayim? We'd like to also address the question of the four Lashonos of Geula. Rashi, to our surprise, at the end of Parshas Shlach, this is in Bamidbar, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Mem Aleph, after quoting Rav Moshe Darshan, he speaks about Al-Kanfei Vigdehem. And he connects Al-Kanfei Vigdehem in Tzitzis in two different ways to our Parshios, to the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. First, the language, the choice of the word kanfei bigdeim, which literally means corners, but the word kanfei also means wings, and he attaches it to the pasuk v'esa eschem al kanfei nisharim. So he finds inherent in kanfei bigdeim an allusion to the carrying of Bnei Yisrael, so to speak, on the wings of the eagle by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And secondly, he says that the number four, with regard to Kanfos, parallels the number four, Keneged Dalid Lashonos Shel Geula, Shenemar B'Mitzrayim, V'Otzesi, V'Itzalti, V'Ga'alti, V'Lakachti. So we would like to discover tonight a closer connection, perhaps, between the Mitzvah of Tzitzis and Yitzias Mitzrayim. We find in Tosus in Psachim, in Perek Arvei Psachim Adaf Kuf Yud Zayin Amid Beis, when the Gemara discusses the mitzvah of Laman Tizkar as Yom Tzeischa Meretz Mitzrayim, Tosfos connects the episode of Yitzias Mitzrayim and specifically Avodas Yisrael Beforech with Shabbos. And according to Tosfos, the linkage, the key word that connects the avoda of Yisrael Beforech with Shabbos, the ultimate gift that Hashem will bestow upon Klal Yisrael, is the word parech. How does Tosfos find in the word parech an allusion to Shabbos? And the answer is that if you take the word parech in what's called Osios Atbash, then you end up with the number 39. The Avoda Beforach is an Avoda of 39 different categories of labor. Our ancestors in Egypt then suffered under the pressing force, the oppressive force of the Mitzrim, with all the entire gamut of all 39 categories of labor. And in Atbash, what you do is you take the Aleph, you could write it in a linear way, up and down, and you reach the letter Chaf, and then you swing around, and with the Lamed you go up to Tav, so that on your bottom of your totem pole you have Chaf equals Lamed, on the top you have Aleph equals Tav. Now if you look for the letters Parach, then you'll find Pei is parallel to Vav, Resh is parallel to Gimel, so you've got the numbers 6 and 3, together which total 9. And then the Chaf, a at the end of Parach parallels Lamed, which is 30. So you've got 39. So Parach in Atbash is equal to 39. Tosus claims that means that connected the 39 categories of labor which the Israel, Bnei Israel, were working in Mitzrayim, the Farech, connected that Farech with the Geul of Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted Yisrael the Shabbos, and instead of involving themselves in the 39 categories of labor, they abstain from the 39 categories of labor. Instead of Kuvva say active, it's passive. So to add to our question list, the following three questions. Number one, what's the connection between tzitzis and geula mitzrayim? Question number two, what's the connection between Shabbos and geula mitzrayim, other than the fact that the 39 laborers are converted into 39 shvusim? And finally, what is avodas parach? I think if we understand what avodas parach is all about, we'll get a grasp on the maschil begnus aspect and the slave labor that our ancestors were subjected to in Mitzrayim. Let's begin with the Ramban. The Ramban that we want to discuss first and foremost is the Ramban in last week's parasha that we read just 2 days ago. The Ramban in his discussion and description of the various levels of subjugation that our ancestors were subject to in a developing form. There was one stage, developed to the next, and to the next. And we're looking now at the Psukim in Shmos, Perek Aleph, Psukim Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, that entire series of four Psukim. The Torah tells us, Vayasimu Olav Sorei Misim, Leman Anoso Bisivlosom. Vaiven Ore Miskenos Lefaro es Pisom Ves Ramses. Vachasher Yanuoso, Ken Yirbev, Ken Yifrots, Vayakutsu Bipne Bene Yisrael, Vayavidu Mitzrayim es Bene Yisrael, Beforech. Finally, in Pasuk Yudalet, Vayimoru es Chayim Bavodah Kasha, Bechomer, Uvilvenim, Uvichol Avodah Basodeh, Es Kol Avodosom, Asher Ovdu Behem Beforech. So we can see that the phrase Avodah Beforech is up front, high profile, appears twice in two contiguous psukim, one after the other. We also see that there's a concept of Sorei Misim. Vayasim Olav Sorei Misim. On the people of Israel were placed Sorei Misim. And we also see in these psukim that the Jews built Orei Miskenos Lefaro. Rashi says Miskenos are Otsros, based on Targum. They built cities that we use primarily for storage. And we see the Avodas Parach. We don't understand, and this is what the Ramban is going to address. We begin with Vayasimu Olav Sorei Misim, and the Avoda of building Pison Ves Ramses. And yet, we go on in Pasuk Gimel to Vayavidu Mitzrayim es Bnei Yisrael Beforech. And the question becomes obvious. What did the Torah add in Pasuk Yud Gimel to Vayavidu Mitzrayim es Bnei Yisrael that we already know? Vayasimu Olav Sorei Misim, they built the Ori Miskenos. What's Vayavidu Osam, Vayavidu Mitzrayim es Bnei Yisrael Beforech? What additional level, more intense level in the Ramban's frame of reference, is being added over here? Says the Ramban, and this is in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Sorei Misim Leman Anoso Soma Al Ha'am Mas Lakachas Mehem Anoshim Lavodas HaMelech. Let's understand the word mas. We translate it as a tax, and we think of it in terms of money that has to be paid for the government. The truth is that the word mas is much more general, and it includes any sort of work or money that's being given to the state. The state demands, whether it be work, some sort of service, sherut as we call it in modern Hebrew, or money. Here, the tax that the Torah is speaking about is a tax, says the Ramban, of avoda, of labor. And the Ramban says that there were Sarei Misim that were delegated by Pharaoh, who were officers that would demand payment of the mas. The mas again was Lokachas Mehem Anoshim Le'avodas HaMelech. So therefore, who is in charge? Who would oversee and supervise this process by which the people would be chosen for the Avodas HaMelech as a mas? Mina al hamas sorim min amitzrim. Egyptians were chosen and appointed by the king, by Paro. Sheyichu mehem kirtzonam, they would decide on their own capri, anoshim, which men, lefi havoda, who would be worthy for which avoda. That was the decision that was made by the sorim, called the sorim misim. The Ramban, as far as I know, does not explain the words leman anoso besivlosom. Those words are placed here in the pasuk. They don't seem to be relevant to the developing story of the avoda of Klal Yisrael. The Ramban goes on to say that at this early stage, the stage of Sarei Misim, chalifos, there was a rotation system. No individual was taken constantly with an open-ended draft, but rather chodesh or yoser, a month minimum, a little bit more, yeah, bibinyan amelech, and he was in charge with the working for the king. What work? Binyan. In other words, at this stage, it's not all of Klal Yisrael, and those who were chosen almost directly by Pharaoh. It's a much more, in a sense, close relationship, intimate relationship between the Ma'avid, he who is working you, and the Oved who is working. And the work itself, not only is it limited in time, but it's limited in character because it's binyan. Binyan means when you supply the worker with all the materials that he needs and he has to build. Shar hayom v'beso. When he was not needed, or when his term of duty terminated, he would go back to his house. So this is what you call, I guess, light shibud, relatively. V'hasorim ha'ele tzivu osam sheyivnu orim lefaro. These officers commanded the Jewish people to build cities for Paro. This must have been a long period of time, because it seems that the Jewish people, the slave labor, were building cities under this mass, under this requirement and draft. It would take some time to build the cities. The kashero shelo yazik zelam. However, what projected Mitzrayim to go into the next stage, to turn the screws harder and tighter, and upgrade the level of Shibud and Avoda? They became aware of the fact that, to their surprise, the program, the campaign, was not successful. Ultimately, the goal of the campaign, says the Ramban, was lahazik lahem ha'am, to subjugate the people, to damage them. They should become less proficient, less healthy, less robust, less able to have children and to multiply. And instead, as a result of the first level of the campaign, kasher yanu oso kein yirbe v'chein yifrotz. The Jewish people were involved in yirbe v'yifrotz. They were becoming even more great in number. And what's the response? Vayakutsu mipnei bnei Yisrael. We saw already before in the Ramban earlier, we've discussed it in the past years, that the campaign and the goal of Mitzrayim were to subjugate the Jewish people and ultimately to destroy them. And now, as a result of the first stage, the first campaign, on the contrary, the Jews were bouncing back. So then we get to the second stage. If you remember, the Ramban wanted to answer the question in Pasuk Yud Gimel. It says, "Vayavidu Mitzrayim, v'gazu sheyavidu kol Mitzrayim." The Ramban is adding a word, kaviyachol, to the Pasuk. And the emphasis here should be kol Mitzrayim. It's no longer the Sarei Misim. It's no longer those far and few between delegates that were appointed as officers by the king. Now it's the entire nation of Egypt, which is given the authority, which is vested in them by Paro, Esa'am, to subjugate the entire people of Israel. We're no longer selecting those who are strong for the avoda. And kol ish mitzri, every rank and file mitzri is given the reins, he's given the power. Sheitzarich ba'avoda, he needs someone to help him do his slave labor. Yimshol, he has the sovereign control. No one could stop him. Lakachas mehem anoshim sheyasu avodosam. So every single mitzri, you can imagine taking a bunch of people into his labor force. At the end of the day, it's kol ha'am. It's the entire nation of Israel, and that's what the Torah adds here in pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayavidu Mitzrayim es b'nei Yisrael b'farach. As the Ramban finishes up this paragraph, v'zeh atam, this is the meaning of Vayavidu Mitzrayim es b'nei Yisrael b'farach. And that's stage number two. Now we look in Pasuk Yudalid, Vayemaru es chayim b'avoda kasha b'chomer u'b'levenim u'b'chol avoda b'asod. This in the Ramban's approach is the third and most difficult stage of Avdus Yisrael b'Mitzrayim. So the Ramban says, V'od, Gozru aleim avodos kashos. Now we get to the really, really difficult, backbreaking labor. Because until this point, even when we got to the second stage, the Israelites were not required to manufacture the bricks themselves, to start from scratch and create the bricks. Now at this point, all they're given is teven, straw, but every other stage in the process of creating bricks is now included in the work for, in the workload, the very difficult backbreaking work of creating cement and creating bricks. They were given, they were supplied the levenim and the bricks in the first stage, but now, in addition to having to build with bricks, they have to create the bricks. V'ata nagu ha'am. And now, it wasn't part of the people, a segment of the Israel people, but as it was earlier at the Sari Amisim, now it was the entire nation of Israel were part of this workforce. Shiu mevi'im afar, they had to bring soil, transported, osim hachomer, they made the cement, biyadeim ubiragleim, using every part of their body, v'lo yinosein lehem mibeis hamelech rak hateven bilvad, and therefore they didn't have much. The nosim halevenim, after they finished the levenim, they brought the levenim l'anshei hamas, habonim lasos binyan, and the process of building was still going on. V'gam kol avoda kasha asher b'lefaro u'lemitzrayim basod. In addition to all that, they were doing backbreaking work in the fields. Because again, the Mitzrayim were farmers. They were asking, you know, they were picking their men, their workforce. Kigon achafiros, to dig the ditches, so that there'll be water supplies, hotzos hazvolim, and they had to move the manure around, and anything that would enhance the ground. Hakol nastolem, everything was placed on the Jewish people. And if that's not enough, if the backbreaking work is enough, look at the psychological anguish. Look at the tactics of the Mitzrayim. V'gam hayu rodim bahem. They beat them. Lidchok osam. They controlled them. They lowered them. Shelo yanuchu, they didn't give them a moment of rest. This is very reminiscent of the campaign of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, during World War II, to basically strip the Jewish people of their human dignity, to dehumanize them. And the Ramban goes on, he says, umakim umakalim osam. So they subjugate them, they beat them, and they curse them. The Jews were cursed by the Mitzrayim. That's very important from the Ramban's perspective, because the campaign against the Jews is not limited to breaking the Jews' backs physically with long hours of work without any rest, but on top of it, to boot, it was a psychological subjugation to lower the people of Israel, to make them shameful people. So the word befarach, according to Ramban, really encompasses all these terrible, difficult, backbreaking avodos, and as well the hakos, the klolos, the rodumahem, the non-stop, no let-up of subjugating and beating down the Jews, tormenting them, And the Ramban gives you a little bit of a feeling for what the Jews had to endure. The next paragraph, Ramban addresses the question, how did the Israelites as slaves in Egypt support, how did they feed themselves? And he tells us that the king, that Paro would support them and sustain them with lechem tzar, with some sort of very basic bread. It was probably stale bread. Keminig lepoli amelech. That's the way you treat the polim. And as far as Daga, as far as Kishuim and so forth and so on, which we'll see later on in Parsha, in Sefer Bamidbar, when the Jews complain in the Midbar that they don't have what they had in Mitzrayim, that was also given because what happened is, Lokhim Aginos Kishuv Vavtichim Ve'en Machlim, you know, there was like an open policy, go into the gardens and take vegetables to sustain yourself. There was plenty of fish coming up from the Nile. Ki mitzvas hamelechi. And that much the melech granted them in order to keep them alive so they could continue their work. At this point, the Ramban takes a break and he says that although this is my pshat, this is the simple pshat, straightforward in the psukim, Rabbi Seinu Amru, our chazal in the Mechilta had a different twist on what this means by Yavidu. He says, Avadim l'molachim hayu v'lo l'avadim l'avadim. It never got to the stage, according to this particular opinion, in which the masses of the Egyptian populace would have the green light, the authority to subjugate the Jewish people. It was always Vayavidu Mitzrayim, God in His mercy, He, in a sense, endowed the Jewish people with some level, some minimum measure of mechubadus, of self-dignity, and therefore the shibud was always connected to Paro. It was never given over, the reins were never handed over to the power of the mass, the rank and file Egyptian. So therefore, when it says Vayavidu Mitzrayim, that's a remez to Sari Amisim Ashal Lefar. But again, according to the Ramban, in his view, the terrible work, the Avodas Parach, was given to the control of every single rank and file Egyptian. Now we want to fast forward to the Geula, and specifically to the four Lashonos of Geula, which the Ramban addresses in the place that those Lashonos are written. So you want to now turn to Parshas Vayera, and we're looking at Perek Vav, and we'll start with Pasuk Vav. The Pasuk says, let's read the Pasuk out loud. Lachein emar livnei Yisrael ani Hashem vahotzeisi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. So that's the first of the four Lashonos, vahotzeisi. Then v'itzalti eschem avodosam. So we have v'itzalti. That's number two. V'gaalti eschem b'zor netu shvatim gedolim is number three. And finally number four. Pasuk zayi v'lokachti eschem lila'am. So the Ramban, I believe, is motivated here in his Pirush to understand the four Lashonos of Geula, which according to Chazal, in the Gemara in Psachim, are reflected in the four kosos, the dalid kosos that we drink on the Leil HaGeula, Leil HaPesach. Each kos, the Gemara says, is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. And the Ramban wants to point out that if each kos is its own independent mitzvah, then it must be that each lashon of Geula, which corresponds to each kos, must have its own independent meaning. So the four Lashonos of Geula are not just four different ways of saying the same thing, that God took us out of Mitzrayim. That would be too simplistic. But rather, the four Lashonos of Geula are four experiences, four dimensions of redemption, what we say, U'mesayim b'shvach. And what are they? So the Ramban says as follows. First he has, V'hotzeisi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim, Yavtichem, this is the promise, Yotziosam, Me'artzam, V'lo Yisbelu Od, Koved Masam. So the first level of Geula is probably the most profound, the most meaningful, because having seen the beginning of Sefer Shmos and the backbreaking work that the Jewish people have to endure, once we have Otzeis Yeschem, which means the Jewish people are removed from Mitzrayim, then the Ramban says, Lo Yizbulu Od Kovid Masam, they no longer are suffering under that backbreaking weight, that burden that was placed on their shoulders. So basically, the freedom from work is inherent in Otzeis Yeschem because they were taken out of Mitzrayim, and that's why it says very clearly in the Pasuk, Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. So what's Vitzalti Eschem Me'avodosom? Vitzalti Eschem Me'avodosom sounds awfully similar. Ah, but this is going to be the Ramban Lushitosom. Because now that we've seen that the Ramban had presented the thesis that in the first level of Avodah, it was the Sarei Misim, it was those delegates who would demand the tax by drafting individual Jews to work in the building of the king. Says the Ramban, the second level is Vitzalti Eschem Yavodosam Shalom Yimshul Behem Klal. There will be no control over there will be no sovereignty of Mitzrayim over Klal Yisrael, even to demand that mass of Avodah. Lias Lahem B'Mekomam L'mas Ove. Now, even though they've already been promised in the first Lashon of Gula Votzesi that they're out of Mitzrayim, that's as far as the backbreaking work, but they could still be taxed to have to come to work in the king's, you know, drafted in the king's sovereign control, even if they're outside of Mitzrayim. Even B'Mekomam. And that's what the Ramban emphasizes here. Now he goes on to the third Lashon of Geula, which is V'ga'alti Eschem. And notice that the Pasuk says, what's V'ga'alti Eschem B'Zeron Etuy B'Shvatim G'dolim? So now we're connecting to a whole different concept. Whereas before the Geula, all the work and all the suffering, all the pain that had to be endured was endured by Bnei Yisrael, obviously. Now, everything is going to be topsy-turvy. It's going to be upside down. Ki yaseh b'hem shvatim. Who's going to pick up all the shvatim, all these difficult suffering? Lahem b'hem. Ashiyomer ha-mitzvah, the mitzvah will reach such a stage because of the pain that's inflicted, the suffering on Mitzrayim. Hinei l'cha Yisrael b'pinyon nafshenu. You know what? What we'd like to do is we want to be poed ourselves. We want to redeem ourselves from all the suffering. And therefore, Lech Yisrael, you go out, and we'll make a barter deal, we'll make an exchange. We're going to spare ourselves all the suffering, and you will be completely freed. But the point here, and the emphasis here, is on divine justice. This barter exchange that the Mitzrayim are forced and pressed to enter into is a result of the fact that God demands justice. He's going to mete out punishment. As already, if you recall, in Chazal, back in the parsha of Bris Bein Abesorim, Avraham Avinu was promised that he will do justice against the Mitzrim. V'gamas ha'goy don anochi, I will judge them. And the Ramban says, ki tam gula, the meaning of the word geula here in this context, v'galti eschem kinyan mecher, is like a barter exchange. In other words, there's something being exchanged for something else. The Jews are being freed. The Mitzrim now, in turn, by freeing the Jews, want to be freed from their Shvatim Gedolim. And finally, and then Vitam Bizro Netuya Shatiya Yodo Netuya Leim Achiotziam. The Ramban seems to say that there will be Peronis, a continuous Peronis on the Mitzrim that's brought on top of the Mitzrim Bizro Netuya. And then we're ready for the next stage. Klal Yisrael is now totally independent. The pigeon was made. The geula was effectuated. Now, v'lakachti li eschem li li'am. And what does it mean, v'lakachti li eschem li'am? V'yisi lachem elokim, etc., etc. Says the Ramban, b'bo'achem al har Sinai. This is the clincher of the geula to Kabbalah Torah. Kisham nemar v'yisem li segula. So now we have four independent lashonos of gula. Each one reflects another dimension. We have the Vahutsesi, in which Klal Yisrael leave, they exit Mitzrayim, the Exodus. They no longer are under the hand, that pressing in endurance of suffering, and Avdus, Vitzalti, they have no control. There's no mas oved by him. And finally, v'ga'alti eschem, Hashem will do shvatim, will be poda the nefesh, v'lakachti, is the Kabbalah HaTorah Har Sinai. Those are the four lashonos of gu'u. But now, my friends, what we haven't seen is an explanation of farech and an explanation of vayavidu osam Mitzrayim. And what is this all about here? Because we talk in the pasuk about leman anoso v'sivlosam, the level of inui and sevel here, those two terms, which ultimately lead to avidu b'nei Mitzrayim es b'nei Yisrael b'farach, are not clearly interpreted by the Ramban. So what I'd like to do is learn a two lines of the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. I don't know if you were able to copy those for tonight, and I apologize because my computer system went pretty fluky here. But what it does say is on the pasuk, Vayavidu Mitzrayim. I'm sorry, on the pasuk Yudalit Eskol Avodosam Asher Ovdu Behem Befarach. And this will give us an insight into Parech. A famous statement, Omer Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omer Rav Yonasan, Shahoyu Machlifin Meleches Anoshim Lenoshim, Meleches Noshim LeAnoshim. So the women had to do the men's work and the men the women's. Now let's try to analyze this. And I'm going to give you now the gist of what I saw in the Shemi Shmuel. The Sukkot Shavuot Rebbe points out the obvious, that if the goal of the employer is to get as much work out of his employee as possible, if he wants to maximize his productivity, then for sure he's not going to switch genders. He's not going to put the work that the men could do on the shoulders of the women and vice versa. Obviously, there's another goal over here. The goal is not work for the sake of the product, the produce of that work, the ultimate effect of the work. He quotes his father, the Sukkot Shofar Rebbe, who says that Avdus, what is Avodas Parach? Ein kavonas ha-ma'avid l'toeles atzmo. You would think that if Reuven is forcing Shimon to do work, Shimon is in the employment of Reuven, Reuven's goal will be something that's meaningful for him. But in this case, what does Avodas Farach mean? The work is not meaningful. It's not a means to an end. The end is the work itself, the backbreaking work. All he wants to do is to get the Ove to work. And how does the Sukkot Shavuot Rebbe know this? He opens up a Rashi at the end of Sefer Vayikra, Vayikra Chaf Hei, and Rashi says, Lo tir de bo b'farach, there's an Isa Lav in the Minyan Alavim, that you're not allowed to be Rode, you're not allowed to subjugate your Eved, and how through Parech, says Rashi, what's Parech? This is the key word we've been looking for, Melacha Shalo Litzorech. Work that has no purpose, purposeless work, Kedei La'anoso, to add an infliction. The affliction is the psychological affliction of knowing that you're working for no goal, for no purpose. That itself is a psychological affliction that subjugates man and robs man of his humanity. This process of dehumanizing man, which we know so well from the Holocaust, has its roots here in Mitzrayim, in the Avodas Parech. For example, the Ma'avid will say, heat me up a cup of water. And he doesn't need the water, he spills it out. That's called Avodas Parach. That's called Inui. That's called cruelty. And that's what the Shemi Shmuel heard from his father about the meaning and nature of Avodas Parach. And he applied it here to the Gemara in Sota, the statement of Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, that what are we proving? What are we demonstrating by the fact that the Egyptians put the work of a man on a woman's burden on her shoulders and back, and vice versa? That the interest here of the Ma'avid, of the one who's enslaving the Jew, is not in order to achieve perfection in the final product, to do a good, fast job. This is not all about effectiveness, because obviously if you want an effective workforce, then you're going to let the men do what they're good at and the women what they're good at. But rather, kavana, the intention of the Ma'avid, was just to work the Eved out of cruelty, lachzor yuso. This is the inui that the Egyptians wanted to afflict the Jewish people with, who machlif lamantia yoser koshal oved, to maximize the difficulty on the shoulders of the oved. That's all we want to do. We're not talking about work from the perspective of work management. You know, anyone who's in managerial positions knows that he has to figure out, and he goes to college for this, maybe graduate school, to figure out how to maximize the energy force to get the maximum out of them. And certainly to switch the work of this one to that one is not going to help you. But the answer is here, we're not interested in managerials. We're interested in one thing and one thing only. To dehumanize, to afflict pain, psychological pain on the Oved. I would call it hashpalah, to lower the person and reduce his dignity. And by the way, we once in the past have discussed, I'm not going to go into it now, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz's famous shmuz called Nichbadus, where he says that the beginning of the process of Mavidim, of Mitzrayim Mavidim, Bnei Yisrael, started after the death, the passing of Yosef and the entire generation of his brothers, because the Jewish people no longer had that state of Nichbadus. And the opposite of Nichbadus is Hashpalah, when they feel very low. When a person feels he doesn't believe in himself, he has no cause, he has no self-value. That's the tragedy of dehumanizing a worker. By showing him that he's so meaningless, he's such a zero, that all he does is work, and work for no purpose whatsoever. There's no goal. At least, chutz, if you feel you're doing something, you're helping the effort. Now, there's a Haggadah that came out, and here I want to thank Rav Noach Olbam. I was able to get a hold of a sheet of his that he gave out many years ago. And he quotes a Haggadah, which I saw in my son-in-law's house, from the Rashi Yeshiva of Chevron. And there's a small piece here on Vayasimu Olav Sari Misim Lamana Noso Besivlosam. The Pasuk, the last three words of which the Ramban had skipped, to the best of my knowledge. An insight of the Rosh Hashiva of Chevron, Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, we're going back to Lithuania. He wrote his Chidushim under the title of Levush Mordechai, and he writes the following. Ikar kavonas paro ba vido es ha'am b'nei so b'farach. What is this all about? Avodas parach. Ha'isarach leman anoso b'sivlosam. If you want to understand what parach means, what that key word is, that codified word, you have to go back to the three words at the end of Pasuk Yud Beis, Leman Anoso B'Sivlosom. The purpose of the work, its goal, was one and only one. Leman Anoso. Lo Leman Toelis. There was no purpose in mind. Sheyetzim Avodo. Ki Hevidu Baharbe Avodos Hashal Lo Hayot Tzorach Lem Klal. Let's make no bones about it. The cards have to be clear on the table. We need transparency, as we say. And what is the purpose of the Mitzrim? They're interested in one goal and one goal only: to increase inui, to break the backs of the Jews, to break the morale of the Jews, to lower them. And here is a sefer that only went up to Shmos. It's only on the first two of the five Sfarim of the Chumash, Shevet Sofer. It's an older sefer. And he too has a similar insight into Avodas Parach. He writes, Es kol avodos sam asher avdu ben beforach, kvar digdeku, he refers to the Gemara, al hodim esayim oda pam parach, twice the Torah emphasizes parach. And he invokes the Gemara in Sota on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. This is very close to the Gemara that we saw, but a little bit earlier. Ari Miskinos. What does it mean that the Jews built Ari Miskinos, Pison vs. Ramses? The answer is that Ramses, Sherishon Rishon Misroses, Upisom, Shepisahom, Bolo, Mashabori Bnei Israel. Unbelievable. What is the remez, the allusion to the names of these two cities, Pison vs. Ramses? In other words, take on new meaning in today, and you know, you go to see, you know, the, you go on a trip to Egypt. That's not, but in the Torah it means something else, something deeper. Ramses means that one by one it was Misroses, it would fall apart. Piso means that it was situated right near a deep abyss. Kilo Haisa Kavanas Paro Sheyivnu Lahar Melum. Don't think for 1 minute, which is the impression you might get from the Ramban, that the purpose and the goal of Paro here was that the Jews should build him cities. But Rak, what was his purpose? La'anos es habonim. To weaken them, to bring them to the state of exhaustion, both physical and spiritual. The affliction and the exhaustion of a people, of a nation. It's something that we can't even describe. Al kain tziva sheyivnu ha'arim elu al makom lach v'nirpas. Where were these cities meant to be built? What land was designated for them? It was swampland. You can't build on swampland. Everything collapses. There's no foundation to hold up the building. Shelo yuchlu lahamad yisod chazak. For rishon rishon misroses. And pitahom bolo. And they would build these buildings right near the Pita home so that they would collapse and go down to the Tahom. V'hoisa kol avodosam b'chinam ulelo toeles. And their work from beginning to end was for naught, without any purpose. Ki kol pam upam noflu harim. V'tzuch lefnosam echadosh. Build a city, build its structures, knowing full well it's going to collapse so that you'll have to rebuild it again. This is something that we know from the Nazis, Yimach Shema. In the work camps. And they would break down what the Jews built right in front of the Jews' eyes. Kilo ha'yicholim la'amod al-makom lach b'li yasod. And here, the Shevet Sofer invokes the Rama at the beginning of Hilchos Avodim on the Isur Lav that we saw about not being mavid, the Eved of Avodas Farach. Ezi Avodas Parach zu avodu she'en lo kitzva. It's an endless work. Avodah shein tzarech lo, and it has no purpose. It's both purposeless and endless. You're playing psychological games with the mind of a human being. You're literally getting into his brain and playing with it, as if it was silly putty, controlling it, destroying it. Al kein mesayim es kol avodosam asher ovdu be beforech ki chutz me avodah kasha odo hayu ma'anim oso yedei avdu shein lo kitzva v'shelo l'tzarech. So we have a double whammy here in terms of the avodah that our ancestors were subjected to in Mitzrayim. Number one, it was the physical parech. It was kashim ma'od. And number two, the inui, the psychological anguish, to get involved in an avodah that had no end and had no purpose. And therefore, when God promises here in Parshas Va'erevot, Seisiyaschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. What does mitachas mean? You know, underneath. The Jews are crouching, are bending underneath sivlos Mitzrayim. So the Eretz Tzvi says, HaPirush ki hayu midukayim ushfeilim. They were lowered and despised. And then he adds two words, which I think tell it all. Be'enei atzmom, even in their own eyes. It's one thing to dehumanize someone in the eyes of the Nazi, of the hate, of the anti-Semite, of the Mitzrim. But more than that, what they achieved was their goal, that the Jews, even in their own eyes, became shfolim. Shlo hoylehem oz lisnagi l'chol ha'inyonim shesovlu behem. Maybe this is an answer to those who speak so disparagingly against the Jews in the Holocaust. But again, this is literature from many, many years before the Holocaust, that the Jews in Mitzrayim didn't have the oz, that didn't have the psychological strength to rise up against their oppressors, and they suffered. This was the additional inui, the other dimension of inui, the psychological inui, when you break a person's morale, his spirit, his self-image. And of course, in that state, you can't imagine that the Jews would be able to focus in any way, shape, or form on serving Hashem, on reciting Yichud Hashem, on Shema Yisrael. It was just, they were so broken at this stage, in the final stage of Avodas Parah, that they were just almost existing in this state of, you know, like floating through the pain of life without a brain, almost senseless, brainless kind of experience. And perhaps this is what, you know, the Bali Kabbalah, we speak about the word Mitzrayim, the meaning, the deeper meaning in the word Mitzrayim. Mitzorim means when you're in a very tight spot, when you're in a Meitzar, and you're deeply rooted and stuck in that Meitzar. No room to break out. There's no ray of hope, because you yourself can't think beyond the next second of endurance of suffering. Your entire spirit is broken. Your mind is not functioning. That's the Meitzar of Mitzorim. And perhaps we could suggest then a whole new pshat in what Yetzirah is all about. Because the Yetzirah, as it expresses itself in Mitzrayim, is not so much the Yetzirah for this Havera, for passion, for that, but rather just making a man feel that he's useless, that he has no contribution, he has no identity, he has no dignity, he can't stand up and raise his face with pride. And the Bali Kabbalah indeed write that if you take the word Mitzrayim, you could divide it up into two parts. You take the first letter and the last letter, you have the two mems. And we'll see in a minute the significance of two mems. In the middle, you have the Yetzer. The work of the Yetzer is to separate the two mems. And what are these two mems, and what is their significance? So there's a sefer here by the Rupchitzer called the Zera Kodesh, in which he says that the Mishnayis begin, Me'ema Sikorin, with a mem, and they end with the word Bashalom, also with the last letter of the Mishnayis is mem. So the first mem is a mem psucha, it's a small mem that has an opening. Opening indicates, alludes to speech. A person opens up the Mishnah, he's involved in the mitzvah v'dibarta bam, until finally he terminates all the Mishnais, and then he gets a mem stuma, the last mem, which is closed on all sides. He closes his mouth. He's spoken his words of Torah. He's gone through the Mishnais. His dibur is complete. But the challenge is that the Yetzer Hara tries to sneak in between those two mems, between the beginning of learning and the end of learning, during that course of time and process. And the Yetzer comes in the middle. When the Yetzer comes in the middle to separate between the first mem and the last mem, that's when we have Mitzarim. That's when we have the Yetzer separating man at his beginning stage with man at his end stage. The Yetzer goes in and squeezes in between the two mems. And once you wedge the Yetzer between those two mems, then you have Mitzrayim. And again, what we said, Mitzrayim is this very incarcerated worldview where you can't see beyond your nose. Everything is black, everything is despairing, is anguished. That's the worst Yetzirah, when we cease to believe in ourselves. When we become Shfelim B'Einei Atzmam. That's what the Golus is all about. So if we speak about Maschil B'Gnus, we're talking about the suffering of a people that's broken, that has no faith or belief in themselves. They've lost their own identity. And here we have a famous statement of Rav Shalom Shvadron, the great Magid, when he speaks about the Sevel of Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim. He says, Al Shel Ad Sherov HaSevel HaGodol, when it came to the point that the sevel of Mitzrayim reached its apex, it was so intense, it was so profound, hifsiku la'argish, the Jews had no argosha. Imagine, here's a giant of Torah who's telling us that a human being can get to the point where he loses all feeling. And this was Paro's campaign. Zu hoisatzas Paro ha'rosha v'schak muso, shalo istapek Paro b'shibud gufom shal Yisrael b'vad. Paro's interest went way beyond the physical endurance and suffering and the torture of the Jewish people physically. Because if at that level, maybe they would be morayed, if they still had their spirit, they would rise up in rebellion against their oppressors. Nilchamim bo. Hare rabim hoyu. They outnumbered the Egyptians. They were strong. Chazokim ha'mitzrim. They did that work for so many hours during the day. No doubt they had built up strong muscles and bodies. But why didn't they rebel against the people of Mitzrayim? Why didn't they rise up against Paro? The answer is, El Shibed Afes Nafsham. And they got to the point where the Shibud HaNefesh was such, it was so profound, that Hifsiku L'Hargish, who? Paro himself, Hishpilam Udukaam. Again, those same two words that we saw before in the Eretz HaTzvi. Midukaim Ushfelim. Acheniu Li'ama Vodim. Lohis Oru Lizok al Matsova Mamar. They couldn't even cry out to Hashem with logical sentences and well formulated intellectual prayers. They just let out an anocha, a kvetch. But there was no prayer. There was no ability of a human being to cry out because the spirit was completely broken. The Jewish people were Midukoim Ushfelim. It was way beyond the Shibud HaGuf. It was the Shibud HaNefesh. And we promised at the beginning of the Shia to try to understand in Parshas Va'era the double Sivlos Mitzrayim here in Psukim, almost contiguous. V'otzeis yeschem mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. But here the word Sivlos is written with out of Vav, Chaser. And Ani Hashem Elokeichem, two psukim later, Hamotzi Eschem Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. Here Sivlos is written mole with a vav. And one of the more recent authors, the Ber Yosef, says the following: Yesh li tein tam. Lama b'tchilo k'siv Hotzei Eschem Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim Sivlos Chaser vav. V'achachach k'siv Hamotzi Eschem Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim Sivlos mole b'vav. How to explain and reconcile this discrepancy? The Efshal Lomer, perhaps we could suggest, Dehine b'Mitzrayim Savlu Yisrael b'Shtayim. The suffering of the Jewish people was on a double, two levels. Hey, number one, Mitzaras Haguf, Masha Shibdu Osam B'Mitzrayim B'Farech, B'Chomer, B'Levenim B'Falavod B'Asad, Moros Chayim B'Avod Koshe, Hamafreches Es Haguf. The physical, terrible suffering of the Jewish people, that's the first dimension of Sivlos Mitzrayim. The Sivlozu Hergishu Yisrael Hetev, certainly the sensitivities, the nerve cells of the Jews on their outside bodies were very sensitive. They felt this Shibud and Inui on their bodies. There was no Chidush, they experienced it constantly, every moment. Aval Milvad Shibud V'Inui Aguf, Hoyu Lis B'Yisrael Gamkein Shibud V'Inui Nefesh. There was the inner moment, the breakdown of the psyche, of the identity of the person. The suffering and affliction of the soul of man. Ki mitzad hakoshi hashibud shechbidu aleihem avodakosh ushfela hishpilu bazeh. There was a hashpala, again that word hashpala that we've seen over and over again in the Mefarshim, the commentaries. When man loses his own feeling as a human being, his own self, sense of self. Hishpilu bazeh tchunas nafsham hayikorin, who were they? When we think about their nefesh, this was the heritage, the descendants of the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But over the course of time of this Avdus, slowly but surely they lost that skula, that special, unique treasure of a nefesh that they had, that sensitive nefesh. And all they were nizgashmu b'chomer gas, they were just physical beings. All they could feel was the pain and suffering of the work, the backbreaking work. So they were aware of the Shibud Haguf, but they were unaware of the Tzara of the Shibud and Inuya Nefesh. Lor Gisha and Klal, they were cold. They were senseless. They had no sense perception on the Nefesh Adina side, you know, the experience, the spiritual experience of the soul of man, of the emotions of man in his heart, that was completely closed off. It was like pipelines that were completely shut. And therefore, Vayonchu Bnei Yisrael Min Avoda. And what does Hashem respond to the Anoch of Bnei Yisrael? Vayishma Elokim Es Na'akosam. Vayizkar Elokim Es Briso Es Avram. Vayar Elokim Es Bnei Yisrael. Vayed Elokim. The divine being, with his infinite wisdom, sees beyond, below the surface. Vayar Elokim Bnei Yisrael. Vayeda. Says the Ber Yosef, Klomar, Sheheim Zaku Rakman Avoda. Their cries were because of the physical torture. But Vayishma Elokim Es Na'akosam Yizkar Es Briso Avram, Hainu Shakarish Baruch Hu, he understood more than that. Vayar Elokim Es Bnei Yisrael, he understood who they were, what the Zerah Kodesh Berach Hashem was, what the Shorash of Kedusha that they had was. Vayed Elokim, Dahainu Hu Yada Es Tzarasim Agdola, he was aware of even the greater tzara that Klal Yisrael were in. They themselves weren't aware of it, they didn't have sensitivities to it. They were completely gone. As we said before, Lo Hergishu Klal, but Hashem saw it. He was aware of it. Vayed Elokim, Yu Yada Sarasam Agdola Shem V'Atzvam Lo Yadu Mizeh, Ki Hem Mitoch Shiflus Galusam V'Nuyehem, Yadu Rak Mitzaras Gufam V'Lo Mitzaras Nafshem. They were totally unaware of the Tzar of the Nefesh. They weren't in touch with the Nefesh. There was no communication. There was no linkage. All the pipelines, all the electrodes were completely broken down between their nefesh and their state of awareness. And therefore, Hashem promises Bnei Yisrael, Lachein Emor Levnei Yisrael, Ani Hashem Votzeis Kamitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. You could tell the people, and they'll appreciate that I will relieve them of Sivlos Mitzrayim without a vav. There's only one dimension of the sevel. That you're aware of the physical endurance, the pain and suffering of the backbreaking work, but later on, when the people will become a nation of God, when they'll be elevated on the Vilokachti to the Maimed of Har Sinai of Kabbalah Satorah, they will become the Am Segula. Their sensitivities on a spiritual level will be reinstated. They'll be even sharper and heightened on a more transcendent level than they ever experienced. Then v'yadatem ki ani Hashem elokecha v'hotzeicha mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim, with a vav. Only then, after v'ekach eschem li liam, only when they rise up to the level of Melechus Kohanim and Goy Kodesh, then and only then will they understand and they'll feel what the sivlos with a vav moleah that they experience, the sevel not only of guf but also of nefesh. And then they'll appreciate, as we say, Messiah v'shevach. Then they'll know, Teidu v'tavinu es hatova gdola v'akfula shasisi eschem b'yitzis Mitzrayim. Appreciate the double redemption of you, the people of Israel, not just on the physical level but also on the spiritual level. Sivlos Mitzrayim, Sivlos in Loshen Rabim, with a vav, Sivlos Moleah, not just the Sevel Aguf, the Sevel and the Inui of Nefesh. Retrospectively, they'll be able to understand and appreciate what God is doing for them now, retrospectively understanding what low level of Hashpalah they reached. The level in which lo regishu klum, the level in which lo hayalehem oz lisnaged liinyonehem, their sevel was so intense that they weren't even aware of it. And that's the Messiah b'shvach. The Messiah b'shvach is the people of Israel have now become the nation of God. Now they can believe in themselves because now they have a great and glorious challenge that's placed upon their shoulders. And we say in the Haggadah of the Atta, and now, Kervanu HaMokom LaVodoso. That kirva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us to be close to Him, to be intimate with that relationship, LaMokom. That we are the nation that has accepted 613 mitzvos with all its responsibilities. Now we can appreciate it. Full appreciation. Full appreciation even of the Maschil Bignus, of what Sevel and Sivos Mitzrayim we went through, we endured. And now from the level of Hashpola, may Ashpos Yorim Evyon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who raises us to a higher level. As the Pasuk says in Tanakh, Magbia Shfolim Adei Morom, from the level of Shfolim, of being totally set on a spiritual level, closed off, we reach this higher level of being Bnei Morom, of being Adei Morom, coming close to the Kisei HaKavod. And perhaps each and every one of us, every Chodesh Nisan, when the time of the Gula comes around, we re-experience this ability to reconnect with those sensitivities, those deep feelings of our soul, to identify ourselves as the nation of God, to appreciate what it means that we are part of a Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. We are in the Mitzorim of Mitzrayim, and yet we're breaking out of that Mitzorim. And in the process of Gula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon the people of Israel two great gifts. Number one, the gift of Tzitzis, which, as Rashi quotes in the end of Parashas Shlach, contains a remez to the Kanfei Neshorim, the close, intimate relationship, almost like a mother and a child relationship of Hashem, the Shechina, the Klal Yisrael, the Dalid Lashonis of Gula, the Dalid Knofos of the Tzitzis, because Tzitzis, Chazal say, will take us all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod. Understand, Jew, who you are. You wear tzitzis, you wear tchilis. The tchilis is domel yam. The yam is domel rakia. The rakia to kisei hakavod. The Yetzirah no longer has the power to take a nation that wears tzitzis, a nation that wears tchilis, a nation that brings itself up to the kisei hakavod in a close, intimate relation with Almighty, to be machti, to be mashpil him. As we said before, the derech of the Yetzirah is to be mashpil, to strip the Jew of his awareness of self, of his identity as a great sensitive soul, a member of a great nation, with a glorious challenge. And Shabbos, of course. Oh, the godless of Klal Yisrael. Akum sheshavas chayv misa goy cannot rob us of our Shabbos. Our Shabbos represents the bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael, that close and special relationship of the Am School of a Goy Kadosh. Yirotza may it be his will that each and every one of us experience, like our forefathers of old, the Messiah Bishvach, that Geula, that great Geula, breaking out of the Mitzorim, of reconnecting to our spiritual elements, our fundamental Kedusha, sanctity as people, and will be zochet to see in our days the ultimate Geula of the special, the expression of the special relationship between Kadosh Baruch Hu, Knesset Yisrael, the Ava, in Eretz Yisrael, b'mheirav yameinu. Amen.